Saturday with Conor Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
You're welcome back. Now, throughout the general election campaign just passed, we heard from many voters frustrated at disability services, at waiting times for therapies and a lack of supports for children with additional needs. There's currently about 110,000 children waiting on therapies, and the waiting list on an assessment of need went from 10,000 in September to 13,000 in November. On this programme this week, we became aware of a project in Kildare Town, a new state-of-the-art centre that would provide therapies and services to children, and it's currently half built at a complete standstill since October due to an issue over funding that was approved by the outgoing government. The National Centre for Child Development has been spearheaded by the charity Sensational Kids, and I went to the site of the National Centre for Child Development yesterday and met with the CEO and founder of Sensational Kids, Karen Lee. Okay, so Karen, we've closed the gate behind us and we're on a 2.5 acre site here just at the entrance to Kildare Town, and we're looking at a building here, an incomplete shell of a building. There's hoarding around the outside of it that says it's a Sensational Kids Centre that's to be built here, and there's a banner hanging on the other end that says it's a shame that it's been stopped halfway through completion. So what is this building supposed to be?
So, Colin, this is our National Child Development Centre here in Kildare Town. We have been planning this building since 2021 and have been approved for $9.6 million to build it. So I'm sure you and your listeners will be very familiar and know that there are tens of thousands of children with additional needs on waiting lists for services like speech and language therapy, occupational therapy, assessments that they might need that would unlock educational supports for them. And they can't be, those services are just not available to them. And we know that these children can be waiting 2, 3, 4, 5 and more years for these services, which is very detrimental to their development. So this National Child Development Centre was to be a beacon of hope for all of those families who are waiting for those essential services for their children. Children who might be autistic, children with Down syndrome, children who are dyslexic, might have ADHD and a range of other neurodevelopmental conditions. And as we walk through, I'll explain to you, it has been designed with the needs of those children in mind. You know, there's 2,000 children waiting for our services here in Kildare Town, waiting for this National Child Development Centre to open. And sadly now it's been ground to a halt.
That's the number of people who are waiting on the services for Sensational Kids, but that's quite apart from the people who are on the public waiting lists. All of those people who are looking for services from you, they've already signed up, have they, to be on the waiting list for the HSE in the hope of getting services through the public system?
Yeah, so we know that 90% of the children who come to Sensational Kids and avail of our services are actually on HSE waiting lists. They're waiting like years for services, which is very, very sad, when we know that early intervention and timely intervention is so important for these children.
Okay, well, maybe we'll go in here and we can have a look at what the new capacity would be.
Start at the bottom, will we? I'll walk.
Yeah, okay, so we're walking down through the kind of a middle of a building site. There's a wide enough area here that's unpaved, still kind of muddy and gravelly at the moment. But over to my right, I can see a building, I suppose the block work done on a building with three open doors opening off that. And over to my left, there's another more open area with, you can see, interlinking large rooms over on that side and what looks to be the beginnings of a corridor with concrete slabs on it that's open to the elements there at the moment. So start over here on my right and tell me what we have.
Yeah, so in on the right hand side here we have what is our online store, which helps us to fundraise for our child development and learning centre. We also have our staff canteen, and then to the back of that then there's also a training facility. So part of what we do is we support parents and educators and clinicians with training workshops to help them learn how to support the needs of children with additional needs. And then to the other side of us here, what you're looking at here are our sensory motor gyms. So these are rooms that look really like a big play centre if you were to go into them to the untrained eye, but the equipment in them is chosen specifically with the needs of the children in mind for occupational therapy specifically. specifically.
Okay, we've got the sun shining in our eyes here across the site that's coming through just over the wall here. So we'll step into the shade a bit here maybe, and you can tell us the story of how the building got to this stage and why it's stopped now at this particular stage. So take me back to 2021. Yeah. Your lease was finishing up. Mm-hmm. You had, as you, in your own words, the dream of building a centre here on this 2.5 acre site. So how did you source the funding and when did the build begin?
Yeah, so back in 2021, we had the project designed. We had gotten planning permission for this building here. We had decided that really the children's needs would be best met by building a custom-built flagship centre that would last well into the future for them. So we applied to the Department of Justice for the Immigrant Investor Programme for $9.6 million in funding, which was supposed to cover the full costs of the building to substantial completion. It would have covered the fit-out costs. It would really have covered everything. So obviously COVID happened in between, the war in Ukraine, all of those things delayed the project a little bit, and obviously costs went up. And then what also happened is that in February of last year, the government decided to close the funding scheme. Now, at the time, we weren't overly concerned because they had assured us at the time, and the press release said at the time, that existing approved projects would be able to continue without being impacted by the closure of the programme, and that it would be wound down in a fair and equitable manner. So we thought that was fine, we'd be able to continue, and we submitted our revised costings then just after the programme closed in 2022. The project then needed an additional $4 million for completion, and the department then took 12 months until February of this year to let us know then that our applications for further investors for the project wouldn't be allowed. So we were then left with the shortfall of $4 million that we had to come up with ourselves. So we thought that was very unfair. We thought it was very unjust to leave the charity to meet the shortfall, whereas before the programme closed, approved projects would have been able to add investors to their projects to update their costings. But we accepted that that was the government's decision. They wanted to close the programme down. So we have been talking to the HSE and the government in an effort to try to reach the shortfall for that. But we knew that we had been approved for $9.6 million through the IIP programme from the Department of Justice. So we decided to get the best value that we possibly could for that money, and we knew that we had enough to construct the actual building that we're standing in here today. That we could enter a fixed price contract with the builder and we could build it to substantial completion, and then we would talk to the HSE and continue to fundraise for the fit out.
So let me just clarify that. You'd been given approval for $9.8 million, and as far as you were concerned, you would be allowed construct to the full $9.8 million. In other words, you could build the walls, you could build the roof and get as far as you could with that, and then you would try and go after funding that would be there for all of the motor gym and all of those other kind of things that you wanted to kit out.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
So what changed was
we entered a contract and we went ahead, you know, in good faith, and the funding was being released of the $9.6 million that was approved from the Department of Justice. We went ahead on a 12-month contract to build this facility in April of this year when construction started, and then completely out of the blue in the middle of October of this year just gone, the Department of Justice let us know that they were going to withhold the remaining investor funding, which totals $4.8 million. They've only released 50% of it, and that they weren't going to release any more investor approvals until we could show evidence that we had the remaining funding in place for the fit out of the building.
So what impact did that have then on the construction? You'd said you'd entered a fixed price contract with your builder, which was done on the understanding that you had that $9.8 million ready to go. You had to inform your builder then, did you? And what was that conversation like, and what was the result?
Well, obviously that's been a very difficult conversation. The project was going really, really well. We were really happy with the builder and the entire project management team. It was on time, it was on budget. The windows had been ordered, the roof was ready to go on. So the day that we informed them that we got the letter and we had to have the conversation with the builder that the money wasn't going to be forthcoming, we didn't know when the rest of the money would be forthcoming from the Department of Justice, because we have no answer from the government on the money for the fit out. They obviously had to demobilise from the site, and we've had to suspend the works midway through construction. We have been invited to a meeting with the Department of Justice this coming Wednesday, the 18th of December, with a view to trying to resolve the issue. We will be asking them to release immediately the approved funding, the remaining 4.8 million. Because that would allow us to finish the building that we're standing here today. You can see at the moment it's not weatherproof. The scaffolding has been taken down. And we also need then a commitment from the government to come up with the shortfall for the 4 million that was blocked by the closure of the IIP in the first place.
And the HSE then, we at the outset of our conversation here, we were talking about the 10,000 plus children who are on a waiting list for an assessment in need, and somewhere in the region of 110,000 children who are waiting for specialised services like speech and language therapy and occupational therapy, and all of those. I'm basing those figures on figures that were mentioned during a Dáil debate back in September. But what conversations had you had with the HSE about maybe helping to alleviate those waiting lists, and has there been any progress maybe in the HSE coming on board and helping out with the capital side of this project?
Yeah, so we have been in conversations with the HSE, and we had been in conversations with Minister Rabbit for well over a year now. So we had offered the HSE 50% of our therapeutic capacity so that they could commission services from us to take children off those waiting lists, and we have offered them 50% of capacity of this National Child Development Centre as well. Those conversations are ongoing. So at the moment, they have, you know, they're open to us putting in a capital submission for the remaining 4 million for the fit out of the building. But as yet, we have no firm commitment. We are waiting for meetings. We are waiting for documentation from the HSE to tell us how exactly we can put in the capital submission, what the process is, what they need from us. So we're waiting for them to get back to us. So it has been frustratingly slow to be in conversations with them for over a year, but we are hopeful that this can be resolved.
All right, and that was Karen Lee. She's the CEO and founder of the charity Sensational Kids, speaking to me on the site of that half-built National Centre for Child Development yesterday. And if you want to see the current state of that campus, we put a video up on Instagram and also on X. We did get a statement from the HSE. They said they have been engaging with Sensational Kids in relation to seeking agreement on the services Sensational Kids might provide on the HSE's behalf. And on the capital aspect of that, they say the commitment of any capital funding will be need to be underpinned by an agreement of the provision of those services, but it has not received a capital application as yet. It will consider it once it is received. Still here with me are Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North, James Lawless, Sinn Féin TD for Mayo, Rose Conway-Walsh, and in our Cork studio, Fine Gael TD for Cork North West, John Paul O'Shea. James Lawless, the funding they understood was going to be there to build this building to completion. It's now in a situation where the builders have had to de-rig that and hand it back to Sensational Kids, and there's a danger that what has been built so far could be endangered by the elements as a result of even the simple addition of a roof and windows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, it's always a very difficult situation, and my heart goes out to that woman and the, I suppose, the most importantly, the children that wish to use the services. And I know some of them, the centre is actually Clare South, but I know my own constituency, Clare North, some of the families that would use those services and engage with Sensational Kids, they do some great work. So look, it's a really difficult predicament that they're in. I suppose that there's two aspects to this. One is the IIP programme, the Immigration Investor Programme. That programme was problematic. It was a recession-era programme to allow people effectively from outside the European Union come in and invest in the state in return for certain residency rights. Not really an ideal situation. You know, you shouldn't really be equating the ability to invest with the right to reside or to gain sort of citizenship-type rights. You know, so there was questions raised, I suppose, rightly about that programme.
That was closed in February 23. They had got the funding commitment. Yeah. There is still funding there. They understood that the block of funding they were going to get of over 9 million, nearly 10 million euro, would be provided to them. And then halfway through, they were told they're not getting the second half of that and they can't complete their building.
Yeah, so my understanding is that the Department of Justice, who administer the IIP programme, are not involved. They don't take funds, they don't manage funds, they don't hold on to funds. They are an intermediary between the investor and the project. And I suppose their role really only is sort of screening the individuals and making sure that it all stacks up. So I don't know, and it would be, I wouldn't be in a position, and I don't, you know, wouldn't be appropriate to comment on the individuals.
So what's wrong with
with this? What's wrong with this project?
Well, the programme has closed now over a year ago, and the project has got to a certain stage. So I suppose the next question to my mind anyway is, so what happens next and who funds it instead? So I know Minister Anne Rabbit was intensively engaged with the group, and I know she met them a number of times. And I suppose when Anne Rabbit started to work with them, there was a gap of maybe 1 million. And then because of this issue that arose in between, the gap suddenly grew to 4 million. Now, what I've been told about the HSC, Minister Rabbit's department, is that they are very much open to and continuing to engage with Sensational Kids. There will need to be an agreement put in place, as the HSC statement said as well. So if the state are going to fund, I suppose, services through a facility, then the HSC waiting list, etc., would have to integrate with that. So
I'll come to Rose Conway Walsh on this, but just to clarify, what Karen Lee said there is that they wanted to build based on the sum they were going to get from the IIP, and then they would look at fundraising themselves or whoever would invest afterwards. Mm. Their issue is that the funding they were promised to complete this building has not been given. They've even made a commitment that they would look at other ways of the kit out themselves. Rose Conway Walsh.
Yeah, and I mean, we're not talking about a bike shed here. We're not talking about a security hotel. We're not talking about curtains. We're talking about a vital service that's needed. I see in Claire Morris and Mayo Sensational Kids and the great work they do. They've seen over in the last 5 years, they've seen over 1,000 children. These are vital services that aren't being provided by the state, and they're time sensitive. This has to be sorted out. I've written to the minister or the interim minister to get it sorted out. It cannot be, like, what strikes me is there's no urgency around this being done, and the commitment that was made, as Karen outlined there, has to be provided for, and the HSE to take the 50% then to reduce the waiting lists on it. You know, this is like a bureaucracy, like, gone mad again, in terms, obviously you want everything to be done right, which it appears that it has in this case. You have to allow for construction inflation, but it certainly has to be done, because these children are a product of government policy failure. We talk about policy failures, we talked about earlier on. They are waiting, and the therapies that they are waiting for, some of these kids go years without the necessary therapies that are needed.
Great.
So this project is offering to take thousands of those children off the list to do it, and it must be treated with that urgency.
John Paul O'Shea, it's been stated by your party leader, Simon Harris, that disability is going to be a priority in the next government. It was supposed to have been a priority when he took over as leader. Indeed, he was Minister for Justice at the time that the funding was halted in this regard. So what's your understanding?
Well, my understanding, Colm, and I think it's important to point out initially just the very important and valued services Sensational Kids provide to the kids around Kildare, and I know they provide some service in West Cork, in my own area as well. But I think it's hugely important that, and Karen mentioned it there, that there is a meeting with the Department of Justice this week to try and see what the issue is here in relation to drawdown the remaining of the funding. But I also think there's a great merit in talking to the HSE and the Department of Health in relation to submitting a capital submission for the remaining of the funding. My understanding is the building was costing 9.6 million euro, and now that's overrun by 4 million euro. And it is a huge important part of negotiations at the moment in relation to the reform and the resourcing of disability services right across the country. And certainly a facility like this would be of huge advantage. And I know Deputy Martin Hayden there in the local area in Kildare, where this building is being built, is engaging with the Sensational Kids on this matter. And fingers crossed that hopefully that will be a successful conclusion in the coming weeks.
Okay, I should clarify that he was Minister for Justice when the IIP programme was shut down, not when the decision was made by the Department of Justice to halt this particular funding. But James Lawless, your colleague Fiona O'Loughlin, has said that regardless of your view of the IIP, we absolutely need to ensure projects that were approved are given the funding necessary to bring them to fruition. Do you agree with her on that then?
No, I absolutely do. And look, I'm actually privileged to be Fiona's Director of Elections for her Senate campaign. I think she was very unfortunate to lose her seat very recently. She might come second in the first count poll.
I'm sure at some point rte.ie/.
I think she deserves to be back into the Oireachtas.
Yeah, sure. And there are lots of other deserving candidates. We're indeed, not going to start pulling indeed, people from the Shannon here.
To this issue, but I suppose that's the point, and it goes back to the point Rose made. So we do need to find a way to support this project and complete it. I think the HSE engagement, from my understanding, and I listened to John Paul saying the Department of Justice are having a meeting, I think, this week, but the health piece of it is coming into play as well. And there needs to be an agreement reached so that all the people, all the children on waiting lists that, that have been mentioned on the show and that rightly deserve rapid treatment and services, if they can be facilitated through the centre, I suppose what the HSE are trying to do is HSE are saying, can we come to an agreement so that those children on waiting lists will be, I suppose, referred to the centre.
That's for the subsequent fit out, but there is this matter, Rose Cumberland Walsh, of the second half of the funding.
You know, the Fine Gael representative there, you know, said we need to keep our fingers crossed. That's absolutely ridiculous. The second half of the funding has to be released, or else the government need to come out and say we're satisfied leaving a half built building there. This just isn't, you know, while the talks are ongoing for the completion of the building, that money needs to be released.
Okay, that's all we have time for today.